Welcome back to another episode of Rebel with a Cause. And joining me this evening, the wonderful Stacy for Truth from The Dissent. How's it going?
Pretty well. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. It was a long week. Didn't think I was going to quite make it, so.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did. You survived.
Yes. Thanks to my old pal, Scotch.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I've got my wine, which my mother told me to put in a coffee cup. So cheers, Mom.
Wine and a coffee cup.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, I know that you're interviewing me, but I have a question.
Okay, go for it.
What is your cause for being rebellious?
Oh, yes. Well, it's liberty. Liberty for you, liberty for me, liberty for everybody. So
I like it.
That's a good cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that actually started from a t-shirt that I got, where it did say Rebel with a Cause, but it had the libertarian porcupine on it. And I was like, yeah, I mean, okay, that's not really a rebellion if you're trying to join the state, but.
I like the whole porcupine thing. I actually didn't realize what the symbolism of the porcupine was until yesterday.
Right.
When I was just like randomly reading stuff.
Yeah, I think one of the best pictures that illustrates that, there's a type of African porcupine where like the quills are extra wide and a little bit longer. And there's a good picture of one of those porcupines being surrounded by a whole bunch of lionesses, and they don't exactly know how to attack it. And so they're just kind of keeping their distance from it. So. I was like, yeah, don't mess with it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't get the barbs in the face. But got you on here, and you're kind of like newer, I would expect, huh? You haven't really had your channel all that long?
I think it's been a couple months, probably.
Couple months? Well, you did it pretty big. I mean, once you got on Pete's radar, I mean, that kind of took everything off, so.
Oh, well, he's wonderful. I mean, I think that, I feel like there's just a lot of, and I'll just use his words, there are a lot of like bitch ass libertarians who.
Yes.
They're just so confused. And a lot of them are new. It seems like a lot of them are new, and I'm new too. So I shouldn't really just say that like new people suck, you know, like freshmen suck. Like it's not like that, but it's just like they don't really understand.
Right.
Yeah, they don't get it. So I really respect Pete because he just tells the truth, like whether it's going to be popular or not. Like he doesn't fucking care. And I think that that's what we should all do.
Yeah.
Like we need to just stick with, like we need to stop doing shit just because it will make us more popular with like the mainstream culture of the day.
Yeah. So we just said boo to every Beltway libertarian that there is. So, because that's what they do best.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, if we're kind of mean with our message and we just stick to the truth, then we're not going to get invited to a cocktail party. You know, at some senator's house.
So okay. We'll have our own cocktail parties.
That's right. And nobody can drink like libertarians. So
that's right. I'll have a cocktail party. You're all invited.
Yes, there you go.
Unless you're one of those bitch ass libertarians. Yeah, then in which case I just disinvited you.
Right. You just that invitation never got mailed out. So yeah, I definitely know about it. I was the elections chair for the Louisiana Libertarian Party for a couple of years. And we had the special edition of Daniel Hayes. So, yeah. Oh. You want to talk about someone whose nose was firmly planted in Nick Sarwark's ass? That was that guy. So.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what's his deal anyways? Like, he really... So, I joined the Mises Caucus when he kind of, like, made an inference through a series of tweets that Ron Paul was a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, yeah.
Really pissed me off.
Yeah.
And before that, I was like, why is everyone fighting? I don't get it. Because like I joined, so I'm new to the LP too. I joined the Libertarian Party 2 days after Tulsi Gabbard suspended her campaign.
Okay.
I already knew at that point that Jacob Hornberger was my candidate.
Right.
And so like when everyone else was really mad at Tulsi Gabbard for suspending, I was like, okay, whatever. I saw this coming. I don't really care who she endorses. I like Jacob Hornberger. Let's go. And what was my point, Eric? I forgot. I'm sorry. Oh,
trying to figure out what Daniel Hayes' deal was.
Right.
Ron Paul with a conspiracy nut.
Right. But I had like a link between Hornberger and... So I'm new. Maybe that was my point. I'm new. Yeah. I'm sorry. I've kind of had a rough day because some of the things that I released recently, which are only like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Like I'm already getting like crazy people.
Oh, the Seth Rich and DNC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've only mentioned it
once at work and immediately it's like, oh, you're one of those conspiracy. I was like, oh God.
Right. <That's in it. laughs> Right. So it's been just a little bit of a rough couple of days because, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people are dead. Other people have been threatened. And now the trolls are attacking me. So just a little bit on edge. But yeah, so I think my point was that I'm relatively new. This is what it was. I'm relatively new to the LP. So yeah, it was like a year and a month, not even a year and a month ago. No, a year and a month and like a week ago that I joined the LP. And I was like, what in the world with like all of this infighting? I don't get it. Like, why is everyone fighting with each other all the time?
Yeah.
And then I was like, this is so dumb. All of you guys are dumb. I'm not picking a side. You guys are all just like the stupidest people. Like you think you're so smart, like you know your books and stuff, but this is so dumb. Like grow up, you know, this is immature, get over it yourselves. Everyone is so arrogant.
Right.
And then when Nick Sarwark tweeted that series of tweets inferring that Ron Paul was a conspiracy theorist, I was like, fuck that shit. I just picked a side and it's not yours.
Yeah, he's
so.
Yeah, the whole Nick Sarwark thing. I was around for like his second term, and he came to the Louisiana State Convention, and he did actually run a meeting, and that's kind of like the clown phrase. It was like, oh well, he can run a meeting. I was like, well, that doesn't matter if he can't run the party effectively. And then when he was going for his third term, you know, I was going for Josh Smith, and as soon as I did that, I noticed there was a decided change. So with some of the people in the Louisiana party, it was like, kind of gave me a little bit of side eye a little bit. And I was trying to get them. I was like, hey, we got to vote this guy out. Cause he's going after some of the big names that have led people to the Liberty movement, including Ron Paul. And right. if you take a poll with any Liberty leaning Republican, they're all holding Ron Paul in high regard.
Right.
Despite what you think about him. And yes, he's appeared on the Alex Jones show. Big fucking whoop.
So. Yeah. here's my problem with like that narrow-mindedness. Like,
yeah.
Are we not allowed to talk to people who are not libertarians?
Yeah, that's so. It's the strangest thing ever.
Not allowed. How are we supposed to recruit people if we don't talk to Republicans or Democrats?
Yeah.
How do we recruit?
Or even the extremes of those two wings.
Right. And anyways, why not talk to everyone? Why not gather as much information from like all different places as you possibly can so that you can decide for yourself what's true and what's not? And like, why not constantly challenge your own beliefs and your own
right.
ways of thinking? I just think like if like anyone who doesn't go outside of their little echo chamber.
Yeah, you're never going to know what's going on.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I'll tell people if you get on Twitter and, you know, some dumb blue check says something dumb, and when you go to the comments, all you're going to see is your friends or people, you know, closely associated with them that you may not be friends with. So I've taken to signing out of Twitter and then looking at that same tweet to see all of the replies underneath.
Okay.
And then you get kind of a good reaction of, you know, just how well that tweet was received. And a lot of times you'll see, yeah, a lot of people don't like it or whatever. And then you can sign back in, then you can see all your friends on there. So it's kind of one of those things. You got to outsmart the algorithm a little bit. And sometimes you got to do that in real life too. So,
yeah, I like that. Outsmart the algorithm in real life. We do need to do that.
Yeah, so it just seems like the social media, it all kind of pits us against each other. And it's one of the main reasons why I got off of Facebook. I mean, if I can't even pay you $10 to promote an episode of mine with Scott Horton because, you know, political content, which, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like I can't even give you $10 and you'll just like show it to extra people.
Facebook is like worse than Twitter.
Oh yeah, it's the pits. It's the pits. Mm-hmm. It was like even stuff that were following my account over there, they didn't even see my stuff half the time. So I mean, what's the point of having a group, you know? It's...
Right.
And then Instagram got worse once Zuckerberg took that over. So I had to get off of there too. So I was like, I'm not even going to deal with it. At least with Twitter, I know how the algorithm works and I can do my little crafty devious stuff around it. So
yeah. You know, Facebook, so here's my experience with Facebook. I'm not on Facebook a whole lot. I do check out the Mises Caucus Facebook group sometimes.
Right.
And I especially pay attention to stuff that Karen Ann posts.
Yeah, Karen Ann Harlos is great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like seeing it there, and I get like updates on what she's doing and her videos and stuff like that. But a couple of years ago, I put something on Facebook in response to one of my mom's posts. And the next day she called me and she said, "Stacy, what happened to that thing that you wrote yesterday?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "On Facebook, you deleted it." And I said, "I didn't delete anything." And she was like, "That the thing that you wrote," and it was about the DNC fraud lawsuit and Seth Rich and Sean Lucas and like facts. Right? Yeah. Like not conspiracy. These are like dates and like pure facts.
Stuff with internet access and an hour's worth of your time, and you can find it yourself.
And not just that, but I provided links.
Yeah.
For each, like everything How dare you. That I said, I'd like say fact and then link to the source. Fact, link. And wait, no, maybe I didn't provide links. No, I did not. I messed that up. I did not provide links on this because Facebook doesn't let you do that. But after I wrote it, it was deleted. Facebook like unilaterally decided to just delete it. And I was like, okay, sorry, mom. So I haven't been on Facebook a whole lot since then. But the thing that I'm talking about that does have the links, I wrote all of that stuff in a Medium article shortly after.
Right.
And that has links. But like all the stuff that I was saying in that response to my mom's post was like fact, not conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like even the stuff that you brought up on Pete's show, what was it, last week or this week? Yeah, anybody that's got internet connection and an hour's worth of time can all find that same stuff. You know, and it's quite amazing. Like I uncovered some stuff today about the Office of Refugee and Resettlement, and they're putting out bids for more of those overflow facilities. And so I was posting that stuff around, and I noticed how it didn't get any likes or retweets on Twitter. And I was checking like the engagement on it. It's like maybe like 3 views. And I was like, oh, yep. That's the one that didn't get out there.
Did you put a link?
No links. I just provided the name of the agency and what they're planning on doing. And that just didn't even get shared around. So I was like, okay, all right.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's... Send that stuff to me in a DM when that happens to you. Because that's the stuff that I want to see. Like the stuff that we're not allowed to see is what I want to see. But Twitter, what Twitter will do, if I link something, if I link my source,
yeah,
if I send that tweet with the linked source via DM to someone, they can see the link if I send it via DM.
Yeah.
But if I don't send it via DM and it just shows up like in their feed, the link is invisible.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah, I've seen that happen before. They have a big thing with BitChute. They don't like that website at all. So if like when my episode drops on BitChute, I'll provide the link underneath the announcement tweet. And if I put the direct link to BitChute on there, it just says, you know, this is a phishing site. You can't go there. And I was like, okay, well, it's not a phishing site, you know. So right. I have to go to like Bitly or something that'll shorten the URL and put that up there. And then it'll pop up every time. But I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, I shouldn't have to take that extra step.
You know? Right. You shouldn't.
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. And you can sit there and show your lefty progressive friends that all day long. And then it was like, well, you know, you shouldn't be sharing that information. I was like, it's information. You know, you should be able to share it no matter what it is.
The progressives, I'm friends with, well, I don't even know what progressive means. Like, okay, I have a friend, Shauna Burley. Everybody loves Shauna Burley on Twitter. And she tweeted something about how, like, people think that liberals are progressives.
Yeah.
And they're not, because, like, this is what progressive means. And I said, it said something about, like, strengthening the federal government.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think that we should strengthen the federal government. I think that that's the problem, not the solution. I think right. that the problem is that there's too much power centralized in one spot.
Yeah.
And she was just like, she was like, yeah, I know, but you know, people should understand what it means. And I was like, I don't understand labels. Like my brain doesn't really understand labels, but I have a lot of friends who are progressives or were progressives who, like, they're starting to get that we can't rely on the government to do anything for the people, because they're not going to do what we think is right or what they think the government should do. They're not, you know, it's like, you can edit this part out if you want, but there's like the real progressives are the people who supported Bernie Sanders in 2016. And they're aware of the corruption and bias surrounding that election. And they know about the DNC fraud lawsuit. And they know that at least in the 2016 primary, democracy was not real.
No.
Now I don't, and I have my opinions about this Democratic primary, and the media is involved. The media, like, there's a direct link between
Donald Brazil getting the debate questions to Hillary beforehand, and
Donna Brazil was put in that position after Debbie Wasserman Schultz was forced to step down.
Right.
Because those emails revealed her blatant bias for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So yeah, Donna Brazil was supposed to be like the better option and then obviously wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I do think that the 2016 and the 2020, at least the Bernie bros out there got to see that, they're going to stop at nothing to make sure that their candidate is the one that goes through. And it doesn't matter if your candidate is popular, like Tulsi, very popular with the younger demographic of Democrats, because they're sick and tired of war too, because they all have friends that went over to Afghanistan. And when they came back, not the same.
Right.
And she's been on Joe Rogan and broed out with Joe Rogan and everything else. So, yeah, she was a very popular candidate, even in libertarian circles.
Right.
She was, you know, anti-war enough. And, and when you're seeing it and they just take out all the stops to, you know, start calling her followers Nazis and everything else, and it's like, oh, okay, the fix is in.
Right. Like, we're all Russian assets.
Yes. Yeah. Hillary calling her a Russian stooge and everything else. I was like, come on, guys.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, if anything hasn't opened up the eyes of a Democrat voter, seeing all that stuff, I don't know what will.
Right. Hey, What do you think about Massey?
What do I think about masks?
Oh, no, I know that.
Okay.
Thomas Massey.
Thomas Massey. Oh, okay.
2024 Massey.
I like Thomas Massey, especially when he starts doing his little tweets with the Sassy with Massey, because those are always really fun. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. I do like following his page and, you know, kind of seeing what he's up to. I mean, the guy is smarter than like 10 of us combined. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's got his house completely off grid. He's living that ANCAP lifestyle, whether or not people want to admit that or not. But
yeah, I love it.
He's a great dude. And if he gets the run, I know the Republicans are going to pull out everything that they have to make sure that he doesn't get it. Because they did that with Ron Paul, and I was there to see it. So,
mm-hmm. Of course they would. But so, would you support him if he ran as a Republican? Like, would you support him in the Republican primary? And then, you know, like assuming that they screwed him over, then have like our own backup candidate as well, obviously, yeah. Like a libertarian candidate.
Yeah. As far as politics and voting and everything, I'm staying away from it. I mean, I'll cheer him on if he gets in front of the press and makes them look like idiots. That was at least one thing I can say positively about Donald Trump, is that he was dunking on the press every chance that he got and just kind of made them look like fools. So you got to at least give him that. If Massey gets out there and does the message, that's all I really care about, is educating folks out there to get them a little bit more inclined towards liberty.
Have you seen some of his speeches recently?
Yeah, they're all very good. They're all very good. Yeah.
Like fire and truth bombs and like,
Yeah, he's basically the guy that everyone wishes Rand Paul would have been. So,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And I do like Rand Paul when he does his airing of grievances every Christmas, where he goes through and talks about all the crap that the Senate is doing. I was like, okay, you know, then you're going to get a Rand Paul-less from us. So,
right.
That's like the rest of the time. It's like, oh, come on, man. Don't be so boring.
Yeah. So I'm a really big Massey fan.
Well, that's fine. He's great. He's probably one of the better people up there. So,
but you said, you know, like you don't bother with a lot of it because like democracy is dead. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Democracy is dead. There's no democracy in the LP. There's no democracy in the DNC.
No.
I do think that there is more democracy in the Republican Party than there is in the other two.
Yeah. Especially on the
left. And if they're like, how did Donald Trump get elected? Oh, wait, I know how. Because Hillary Clinton propped him up.
Yes.
Because she thought that he would be so disgusting that
he was going to be a pushover.
People wouldn't vote for her.
Yeah, except that we had that giant miscalculation there that Hillary Clinton is the most unlikable person in the universe. So,
yeah.
It's like even when the space aliens come down, they see Hillary Clinton. It was like, oh, no.
But there are so many trolls on Twitter that fight for her.
Yeah, sure. And I can pay for followers in India, too. So.
And those Bernie bros. Do you think those Bernie bros are really all Bernie supporters? Because some of them were nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I am just curious about the Bernie bros. I have thoughts on that, like how they could have been financed. I don't really know, you know, obviously. Yeah. I don't know, but I have thoughts.
Yeah, I think you're just going to find that with any of the political operatives out there. You know, they've all got their little special cadres of folks out there on the ground level. Even down here in Louisiana when Ron Paul was running in 2012, I mean, there was a literal fist fight that broke out. So, I mean, trying to keep his delegates from getting to the floor to vote.
Are you serious?
There was a fist fight? Yeah, there was a fist fight. You know, people getting pulled on, security getting called. It was nasty. So
libertarians, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah. No.
Oh no, that was Republican.
Yeah, that was the Republican Party. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah, there was like lawsuits, everything else. And yeah, there was a definite thing to keep their delegates from the floor.
I didn't know. I need to learn. I want to learn about that.
Like a magazine in front of a microphone so one of the Ron Paul delegates couldn't speak on the microphone. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You want to talk about caddy? Oh yeah.
I was going to say, what a dick.
Yes. Yeah, gigantic one. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, those people, I mean, you never know. There could be some true believers out there that you don't even have to pay them any money. They'll just go ahead and do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess to me, like, I don't feel like, okay, so maybe you can help me with this. This is like my own little existential crisis in the libertarian world and like in my mind. So, okay, you can be my counselor for a moment here, Eric.
Yes. Okay, I can do that.
Okay, so we know democracy is not real, right?
Yeah. Hasn't been for some time now.
Right. And so I'm still irritated. Not that I don't love Jo Jorgensen. I do. I think I'd love her. I think she's a really great lady, great person, great human being.
Yeah.
I still, however, am just very irritated that Jacob Hornberger did not get the nomination because he was clearly favored in all of the polls. And
yeah,
like he was clearly the favored candidate. And so like all the way up until like the day before the primary. And so I think that if we are going to be a political party, that it should be democratic. Now, like, I know that a lot of libertarians are anarchists, and you're an anarchist, kind of, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, me too. So I don't like political parties at all. I don't tell people what to do because I don't want people telling me what to do. I don't think there should be any political parties. But we don't actually live in Kapistan. And so
that's true.
We do have to have a political party, which is the Libertarian Party. And so since we have to have a political party, shouldn't it be democratic until we get to Kapistan? In which case we can just say, okay, you know, obviously we don't need democracy anymore. Everybody just do what you want.
Right. Yeah, there's something to be said for using a different political party in your local area. So like down here in Louisiana, it's a pretty red state. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to run on a local election, like say, you know, parish council, you know, school board or something like that, run as a Republican, you get in there and then you just start doing libertarian shit anyways. No one's going to say boo. They'll just think, oh, well, you know, he's a Republican. He's a good guy.
Well, that's what Thomas Massey is doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you are going to run as a libertarian, and this was, you know, back when I was the elections chair for Louisiana, I was saying you're not going to win. You need to get out there and educate as much as possible. So you need to go give speeches and you need to get in front of people, which is a tall order, talking to us, you know, socially awkward libertarian types. And yeah, so that was the big thing. It was like, look, we need to get education candidates out there. They need to tell, okay, this is what the Republicans did. This is why it's wrong. This is what the Democrats did. This is why it's wrong. Here's a third option if you want it, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And I would just tell them, I was like, look, just don't even hope that you're going to win this local election or whatever. It's just not going to happen. You know, people are just too in their camps for it. But if you could put a seed of doubt in a few of the voters' minds, you start building it, you know.
Right.
So when I started down this path in like 2012, 2014, something like that, you know, not a whole lot of us. And then you go to some of the meetings and then there's more people there and more people. So there's your microdose of a white pill. You know, there's more people in this movement now than there has ever been. So.
Right. So, okay. So I supported Tulsi Gabbard. I knew that I did a lot of research very early on.
Right.
And like, so I donated like $100 up front, just after the first time I heard her speak, when she like took out Tim Ryan. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
I donated $100 and then I researched for like a solid 6 weeks and I learned everything about like the DNC fraud lawsuit and just all the corruption and the lies about the war in Afghanistan. And, you know, I learned about the, what's his name? When that General Rumsfeld, was that him?
Talking about Wesley Clark?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Wesley Clark. I can never remember his name. Yeah, when he basically told everybody that George W. Bush didn't know what they were going to do about the terrorists, but hey, we're really good at taking out governments, so we're going to take out 7 countries in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know what to do about the terrorists. So like, so I knew about all that stuff. It's a military
tactic.
The DNC corruption, the military industrial complex bullshit, all of it. And I knew after those 6 weeks of research that Tulsi Gabbard would not win because they would not let her.
Yeah.
I knew that. But I supported her anyways because I wanted her message to get out there.
Yeah.
I wanted more people to learn what I learned. I even gave her money after she roasted
Kamala Harris. So, I mean, it was like,
right.
I was like, okay, she's done. There's no way. She can't even get back up.
Yeah. But Kamala Harris was the preferred Democratic candidate, you know, preferred by Hillary Clinton from early on.
Yeah, you can even see it back in those debate stages, because anytime they had the camera on her, it was like all of a sudden, like the lens got softer and, you know, doing little shit like that.
And there like, was... There was one where like
in on her face to show how great she is. And I was like, oh God, they're not even joking anymore.
Yeah. They put a pimple on Tulsi Gabbard's face that wasn't there.
Yes.
And the pimple like disappeared like towards the end of the debate.
Yeah.
It's they just put dumb. A pimple there.
Yeah, they do funny stuff with that all the time. And they got called out on it. And it was like, oh, no. It's like the recent thing with Biden's little outside press conference where his hand goes through the microphone. It was like, he's standing in front of a green screen. Yeah. There's no other way to view this other than that. I mean, you guys can, you could say, you know, we knew it was going to be loud with the helicopter outside, so we brought it inside for a green screen. But
I was like, we brought the helicopter inside?
No, I mean, just do it in a room to make it look like it's outside. Yeah, because the helicopter was nearby.
Okay.
But yeah, and everyone's like showing like all the little side thing. It was like, oh no, there was like different camera angles. And I was like, yes, but it's that particular one where he stands there and his hand goes through the microphone.
He's a ghost.
He's old enough to be one. Jesus. So... But yeah, and even with this little so-called State of the Union that wasn't a State of the Union, it was like the whole time, and I'm sitting there listening, and I was like, man, whatever B vitamins they got that guy jacked up with, you know, they don't last that long. It's like 45 minutes tops.
Really?
Yeah, if you've ever seen like some of his, the little press conference that he had, it's like as soon as it gets to about the 42-minute mark, then whatever it is that's in his system is starting to go. And so they really try to get him off the stage after that. So
I had just figured that it was something a little more than B vitamins, but.
Okay. B vitamins. Okay.
Yeah.
It's methamphetamines, folks. Methamphetamines.
Or now, cocaine.
But, yeah. We're not strangers to that. I mean, they gave that to JFK all the time too. So.
Really?
Yeah. A whole thing called Dr. Feelgood. It's not just a Motley Crue song.
There were people in law school who were taking cocaine like during final exams. And I had no idea like until after law school was over. And then, somebody told me that. It's true. These guys would like show up for class stoned. And then for finals, they'd show up like.
It's like, I'm awake. All right. Yeah, I found out in my early 20s, I am like way too lazy for cocaine because I tried it like the first time and I was up for like 2 days straight. And I was like, I need to clean the grout in my kitchen tile. So I don't have anything to clean it with. Here's my toothbrush.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then crashed for like 10 hours after that. Got up and just felt like I had just been beat up. You know, I was like, this people live like this? They go out and drain their bank accounts for this. This is too much.
Yeah. Seriously. Wow.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing ever. So,
but yeah, like what goes up must come down, right?
Sometimes you go down and then even go down even further. So,
have you ever seen the movie Better Living Through Science? With
a lot of movies.
That goofy guy that was on. There's something about Mary.
Better Living.
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. No.
Better Living Through Science. He's like this.
You'd say that I've seen that one. Yeah.
Weak little guy, and I don't know. He decides to run a marathon or something, and then he's like taking all these. Oh, he's like a pharmacist.
He's a pharmacist. Okay.
Yeah, and he's like taking all these pills, and he like wins the marathon.
And doping himself. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that one. I've seen a lot of movies. I haven't seen that one. I'll have to find that one on the list.
I mean, I don't really recommend it.
You don't really.
No. It's just the concept is funny.
Well, I mean, that's how that documentary Icarus started. The scientist wanted to find out if he could actually dope himself into a win and try to do like the race without doping. And then it turned into this, oh, well, here's the Russian guy who got the entire Russian Olympic team doped for the Sochi Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then the story took a complete 180 turn on it. And if anybody hasn't seen that documentary, like the stuff that the Russians were pulling at that Olympics, I mean, were nuts. And that doctor is now living in hiding because he is for sure that Putin is going to kill him at some point. So,
which Olympic Games was it?
Oh, that was the Sochi Olympics. It was like 2014, 2012. It was one of those. It was before the last ones. Yeah.
Okay. And it's called Icarus?
Yeah, it's called Icarus. Okay. Yeah, it's like the first half of the documentary is him like trying to dope himself into a win and like trying this bicycle race without doping. And then while he meets the guy who's doping him up, it turns out he's the Russian scientist who was doping the entire Russian team. Because the Olympics in Brazil, they all had to have like their medals vacated and everything. And so, yeah, there was some hinky stuff going on with it. But yeah, that documentary is just, it's just balls out crazy.
Yeah, that's rad. All right. Good to know. Better Living Through Science.
Better Living Through Science. Yeah, there we go. And I suppose we could have Better Living Through Science if science wasn't so easily bought off. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I know why I don't want government anywhere near my healthcare.
Yeah, there's good reasons for that, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you want government-controlled healthcare? Like, do you want the government to be in charge of your healthcare?
No, because it's my body, my choice, right? So.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing. I had this argument today about our company that may require vaccines to continue employing there. And so I have the out card of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, so I can claim the autoimmune thing all day long if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so we were having this discussion. I was like, yeah, but you know, where does the government get off saying I have to do a medical procedure in order to stay employed? You know, and it just saying that kind of tricked this guy's mind into like putting two and two together all of a sudden.
Right.
And he was like, well, no, it's not the government, it's us. I was like, yeah, but we have a lot of government contracts, and the government contracts would dry up if, you know, a certain percentage of our workforce isn't vaccinated gene therapy. We all know the deal.
Gotcha. Yeah. What company do you work for?
Oh, I'm not going to give that information away, but okay. It's an engineering firm and one of the largest in the world. So.
Okay. Just remind me like what type of work you do.
Oh, me, it's civil engineering. So anything that has to deal with the ground and more specifically coastal water. So.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I like to make the joke that my roads are literally my job. So.
Your roads.
Yes.
Your job. I really am weird today. Like, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm weird. I really am on edge. I'm sorry, Eric.
No, that's okay. I totally understand. I mean, you stirred up a hornet's nest with the Dems out there. So
yeah,
and now you have wine in a cup. So, I mean, there you go.
Yes. I mean, I have so much more information. I'm still gonna release it though.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh goodness. I set up an account on Odyssey because I'm sure that like I'll be kicked off of YouTube soon.
Yeah, I did a live episode on YouTube and I mentioned the injection one too many times, I guess, and it got pulled.
Right.
So I was like, man, I didn't even get a chance to download it and put it up on Odyssey or BitChute or anything else. So I had to redo another episode, but I was like, yeah. And there was like nothing in my inbox about it. It was just like that episode's gone.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, the fix is in when they're not even going to tell you, oh yeah, you violated our community guidelines. It's like, no,
right.
Just gone.
That's like what Facebook did to me. They just deleted my shit. And I was like, rude, like
no warning,
kick me off or tell me or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
no, it was just gone. Poof.
Yeah, it's because we would never do this to another human being, you know. If we, it's like, right. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, we had to move your car because it was in the way of a fire truck, you know. We just moved it, you know, like four blocks away, and you know, it's like, well, where's my car? It was like, well, we found it over here. I was like, well, why is it over there? Well, the fire department moved it over there. They could have knocked on my door and told me, at least.
Wow. Yeah, well, they...
Yeah, big tech and government, they don't act like people sometimes, yeah. So.
That was funny. That was a good analogy.
Yeah, I'm filled with those. I'm just filled to the brim with those. Yeah, don't ever play a game of Trivial Pursuit against me. So that's
all right.
That's another
I'll heed that warning. Oh, are you going to Porkfest?
Yeah. I am not going to Porkfest. I am, however, going to Childerberg next month, and that's going to be in Austin, Texas. It's kind of like the South's version of Porkfest.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, May 28th through the 31st at Muleshoal Bend Recreational Area just outside of Austin.
Right so. On.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty big. We got Robbie the Fire, the co-host with Dave, is going to be there.
Oh, he's so cool.
Got Owen Glass Music is going to be there. A whole bunch of the podcasters are going. So
Robbie the Fire should have like his own.
I think Scott Horton's going to be there.
Does Robbie the Fire have his own show?
He does. It's called Run Your Mouth.
I need to watch that because he is so funny. Like Dave doesn't really let him talk that much. But like every time he says something, it's just hilarious. So
yeah, I think that's in his contract. You know, it's just Robbie's just better left to be seen and not heard.
Oh
in this
my
case.
Gosh! But it's called Run Your Mouth.
Yeah, it's called Run Your Mouth. It. That's his podcast.
I'm totally gonna find it. Robbie, coming for you.
Yeah, I think that DM I sent him to try and get him on my show is still left unread. So maybe I'll have to send him an email. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I'll see him at Childerberg, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's
there you
that.
Go.
Now, Porkfest, I would love to go. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. We'll just kind of see how if I can sell enough shiny objects to get up there.
Well, Louisiana is pretty far from New Hampshire, so I understand. Like you're closer to Texas. That makes sense that you would choose Texas.
Yeah, that was the other reason for coming up with it. You know, they liked Porkfest, but I mean, that's even far out of the way, even if you live in like New York City, you know,
yeah,
because you're going all the way up to New Hampshire for it. So
it's like a 10-hour drive for me. So
yeah, you're in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, while it's kind of central to a lot of the country, it's not central enough. So
right.
Yeah. Ohio's, that's getting to be, pretty happening state with stuff going on, like your governor Mike DeWine with his lockdown orders. I triggered Stacy. Oh no. I turned that smile upside down.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but I don't even want to. He canceled the primary election.
Yeah,
we didn't like I didn't mail in my ballot, and because I always go and I vote, you know, it's like 2 minutes from my house, and
yeah,
it's a great like polling location, and I was like, yeah, I'll just go and vote in person. And then I guess I could have mailed in my ballot after that. Like, I had a few days in which, like, I could have gotten it and mailed it in, but
yeah, you could have went and voted in person and then mailed it in. And
well, I mean, he canceled the in-person voting, like,
just canceled it,
even though, like, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled, like, no, Governor DeWine, you can't do that. And then he did it anyways.
Yeah. So he's in jail now, right? Because he violated the law. And that's how that works.
Right. Yes. Because everything in the law works out exactly the way that it should.
Yes.
I used to be a public defender.
That's admirable work. If anybody should be a Supreme Court justice, should be a defense attorney. So.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it should be someone who wants to deal with bullshit. Not me.
Not you. Just not in the cards. Okay. I got you.
No, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to be a homesteader.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to have hens and I'm going to have a garden and I'm going to can my own food. And yeah. I am, like, preparing for the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that zombie apocalypse already happened. So
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that rumor. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, zombies, I haven't, shuffling around saying brains, brains. They say college football, Oscars.
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci. Yeah.
I have an emoji that means zombie. I'm going to send it to you right now.
Yeah, they've got a whole bunch of zombie emojis on there.
Yeah. Rebel with a cause. I'm going to send you my zombie emoji. You're going to love it. It looks like an octopus. Wait, no, it doesn't. It doesn't look like an octopus. It's like that purple thing.
That sounds like a sci-fi original. Yeah. Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, here, I just sent it to you. Look at the little zombie.
Yeah, there it is. That's awesome. All right. Well, I think that's probably a good place to drop it off this time. Stacey, go ahead and give all your plugs, including your new Odyssey channel.
Oh, okay. So I changed the name of my YouTube channel from The Descent to just Stacey for Truth.
Yeah,
like, all one word, Stacey for Truth, because I just figured it would be easier to search for. And also, I'm on Odyssey, Stacey for Truth. And also, I really hope that you guys follow Pete Quinones on Free Man Beyond the Wall, like, listen to all of his stuff.
Yep.
Because he really does say a lot of true shit that you aren't going to hear a lot of other places. And I don't know, I guess. Oh, and you guys need to support Angela McArdle.
Yes.
For
she's my buddy.
Chair. She's my buddy. So awesome. We need to have her as the chair of the LP in order to move forward as a political party, because the people who are controlling the party right now are just kind of fucked up in the head.
Well, there's also a lot of back room dealing going on too. So I got some stories from the 2018 convention that would make your hair stand on end. So
I would like to hear, actually, like, if you have sources, will you send them to me?
No sources, because this was all stuff that happened right next to me.
Oh, well, then I want to.
I was listening. Yes.
Well, then, do you want to come on my show and tell me about that?
Yeah. We can always dish on that. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's do that soon.
Yes, definitely. Okay, Stacey. Well, thanks for playing along. We'll send everybody over to your Odyssey channel, and we'll just, you know, forget YouTube for the time being, because I'm pretty sure if you're going to get it, I'm going to get it soon too. So,
well, I don't have anything on Odyssey yet. Like, it's still on YouTube for now. So,
yeah, once you get 300 YouTube subscribers, everything will auto-populate onto Odyssey. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. I have like over 450. I don't know. I just signed up yesterday. I will figure it out.
Yeah. It's like right there when you go to upload, there's like a sync to YouTube. And if you got over 300 followers, it'll automatically pull everything over.
Sync to YouTube. Okay. I'll do it. Thank you so much, Eric. It was so nice meeting you face to face.
Yes. And then sometime we'll have to meet like face to face, like in MeetSpace. So
yeah.
All right, Stacey, take it easy.
You too.
All right, and there she goes, folks. Stacy for Truth, formerly The Descent. Go check her out on YouTube while she's still there. Check her out on Odyssey. Now that I got her squared away on where to go to sync up her videos and everything. And down below in the show notes is where I'll have all that info. And if you guys want to support this guy, you can also head down in those show notes because I've got everything down there. Patreon, Subscribestar, Float, Cash App, PayPal, it's all down there. If you guys want to ask me a question, you can go to the Anchor voicemail messages. I'm going to start looking at those again. You can also send me an email at rebelwithacausepodcast@protonmail.com. What else? I put an Amazon wish list, so that's another way that you can support the show too. And I have a Substack where I put my sci-fi junk up there too. But anyways, guys, take it easy, and we will come at you next week with a brand new episode of Rebel with a Cause. Out.